Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time. Yes, it's Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And here in Florida, sunny, beautiful Florida, it's actually been cold. I know my northern friends are laughing at me in hysterics, but anything below 70, I wear a sweater. Doesn't matter. It's cold. And I'm right off the base, so it's even colder for me. The dogs are nicely snuggled up to my side as though I'm a kangaroo, and Chloe wasn't feeling well, so she's lounging back and dealing with her migraine the best that she can. Today I've been puttering. It was my first day off in 14 days, so of course I had a lot of chores to do because you neglect certain responsibilities when you're working so much, and a lot of running around. But I was, you know, I mastered some candies today. I actually made these delightful Irish whiskey candies with a pop of fresh raspberry when you bite into them. And I'm not a sweet tooth person. I don't eat sweets often. This was very surprising, and I was very proud of myself. So, surprise, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. That's your gift this year, these delightful little truffle-like candies. I have a belly dancing class tonight, so I was making fun of myself going, well, I probably should lay off the Irish whiskey because belly dancing is going to look more like Irish yoga before I'm done. Anyway, we are coming up to the end of the year, and wow, what a year. What a crazy, crazy busy year, and it's just gone by so fast. I remember being a child in the summertime, laying out in the grass, or what you can call grass in Florida, and just wanting life to hurry up and move on and get faster and get busy. And I wanted to be an adult and grow up and do adult things. Little did I know that by the time I hit 35, it was more like a speedway. Time, you know, we technically have 12 months, but it really feels like four in retrospect. So I'm looking forward to doing my end of the year blog. I'm looking forward to 2019. I embrace all the beauty that it's going to bring. I think it's going to be a great year for many of us. There's a lot of changes happening environmentally, for good and for bad. There's a lot of things happening economically, educationally. So as always, I always try to find the light at the end of that story because it's important. It's important to focus on the good. What you put out is what you get back, and all I put out is good. That's all I want back. That's all I put out. It's kind of selfish, but be good, truly. Today I'm really excited because we have Sora Vernikoff. She is a weight loss coach, so she's going to be perfect to talk to since my body is 50 pounds over what I'm used to. I think it's hormones, but you know. So we're going to talk about how she does the no diet thing, which is right up my alley because diets are bananas. You know, as a celiac, my life is already restricted. Why do I want to restrict it more? I eat dominantly protein, and I walk probably 15,000 to 18,000 steps a day. So I don't want to diet. So I'm dying to get her on to learn why she does what she does, what inspires her, and what motivates her to continue. Amy may or may not be on. She's in Boston today. Hi, Amy, if you can hear us. Miss you. Hopefully we'll hear from you next week. As always, this is Living and Thriving with Rusty, and hey, I'm Rusty, your inspiration on tap. Miss Sora, are you out there?
Yes, I am, from freezing New York.
Ah, I know, you don't feel sorry for me at all, do you?
No,
none of my
sorry.
Friends in Maine do either.
I haven't seen 70 in a long time.
I think we broke 70 about an hour ago, but yes.
Oh my God, stop taunting me.
you can take the girl out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the girl. And I was raised down here. I lived in New England for half my life, and for 10 months out of the year I still wore sweaters, so I don't think I ever acclimated to the northern climate at all. Because even in July,
that's really funny. That's funny. You know, I'm just I'm a layering girl. You know, I always layer myself. Even when I travel and I go to Florida sometimes to visit family, I'm always layered. Yeah. You know, that's my thing. The socks are in the pocketbook. You know, the sweater's around my waist. The trench coat and the blazer are right there. I don't take any risks.
I'm a prepared lady.
Yeah, well, I think not to plan is to plan to fail.
I think I'm just the sister of Mowgli. Like, I hate shoes. I would rather live in a jungle where I just had all
you know,
these.
good for you. I mean, I'm jealous of you because I grew up in a house where my mom made us wear shoes, and really hard for me to go barefoot. So even if I just run to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I have to put on my slippers. So it really depends on. Yeah, because she's Hungarian, but, you know, and she says you can't go without shoes. It's bad for your feet. But it depends, you know, how you grow up, what your environment is, what you've been told, you know.
Well, and I think that's a beautiful segue to what we're getting ready to do. You know, I think it's interesting that, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm a whopping 42 years young, and a lot has changed in our life. You know, I'm part of the generation that 8 o'clock in the morning after my Rice Krispie treats, I was kicked out of the house, literally. The door was locked, and I didn't come home until either my first name and my last name were called, my first name, my middle name, my last name. I was nervous about that one. Or the lights started flickering on the street. We weren't born of a generation that didn't play in the mud or, you know, get dirty. And I think it's interesting how we've changed that, you know, where you have to wear a coat and you have to have a hat or you're going to catch a cold and that kind of concept.
Well, I mean, everything also depends on who your mother is and her nurturing qualities and her lack of nurturing qualities and what she defines as nurturing and what the financial situation is, you know. And, you know, there's so many factors that go into make up how we see the world that it's very individual, you know. That's how we become individuals, you know.
I agree, 100%. So talk to us about how you see the world and what inspires you to do what you do.
Well, you know, I'm here to put in a plug for and to educate your listeners about what happened for me and then what can happen for them. So for me, over 20 years ago, I used to teach – I'm a baby boomer. So over 20 years ago, I used to teach really challenging kids in East New York, Brooklyn. Like, you don't want to go there, right? Highest murder district and all that. And these were fourth graders who walked, talked, and did all those other things. And it took me a couple of years, but I finally knew how to manage them. And it took a lot. But I finally got them to listen to me. And at the same time, Rusty, I used to diet, take off the weight, and always put it back on. One day, I looked at these 35 smiley faces, and I said to myself, how come, Sora, these kids who walk, talk, and throw chairs listen to you, but food has no animate qualities, you can't stop thinking about it, and you can't stop eating? And that was my aha moment. And I got this idea, well, what if I stopped dieting, ate the foods that I really wanted, but I journaled all my eating experiences to find out why I couldn't stop thinking about food and what was going on in my mind? And I did that. I intensely journaled for years every eating experience, and I saw the problem. And I took off the 25 pounds, and I've kept the pounds off since 84. And as soon as I reached my goal weight, I knew that I could transfer my classroom management techniques to food management techniques. And that's how I developed this easy-to-use Eat and Stop Yourself No Diet Weight Loss program. So I'm a big believer in not dieting, obviously. And I developed I walked the walk. I developed a system, an easy-to-use system that gives you the choice not to diet, not to be afraid of the food, to think less about food, and to lose weight at the same time. So that's my passion.
So what was the secret for you? What was that aha moment? You know, growing up in the city and having my fellow classmates be the ones that throw chairs, I can relate as the student, not necessarily as the teacher.
Right.
But what was the definitive line there where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to stop throwing chairs at myself?
Well, that's I'll give you a better answer to the question that you're really answering, which is, how did I figure out how to eat and stop, and how did I learn that, and how did it come from the classroom? And what I basically learned was that until I decided how much was enough, whether of their behavior or of the food, that there was no way that I could stop myself. So I'll relate it to food. So what's your favorite food, Rusty?
Avocados. And I think my favorite naughty food, people say pizza is naughty. That's one of my favorites.
Well, okay, but let me just stop you for a minute. I don't call food naughty or bad. To me, food is not a – okay, this is important. Food is not a good thing. Food is not a bad thing. Food is a thing, just like money. Money isn't good. Money isn't bad. Money is a thing. So in my I talk about it in my book. So there's no bad food. What I define what people call bad food – is the food they feel they can eat and stop themselves. So I have a different definition of what you say is bad. When you say pizza, that means you just can't eat and stop. But it's not a bad food. It's a thing. That's what I've learned. It's a thing, you know? It's cheese and this and that. It's a thing. So let's take pizza. Just because it's a you define it as naughty. Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to teach you how to use the green technique, which is one of the techniques in the book that lets you eat and stop yourself. So there's a pizza. You go into the pizza shop, and you get some pizza, okay? But before you get the pizza, I want you – let's say you're at somebody's house, and they put pizza on the table. So I want you to look at the pizza that's on the table. We're doing a pretend exercise. And I want you to ask yourself two questions because you're using the technique now before you have the pizza. You're going to ask yourself, Rusty, how much is enough of the pizza and how much is too much? So just take a pretend moment, and I want you to tell me how much is enough of the pizza and how much is too much.
I would think enough of the pizza is two slices. I don't get to
okay.
go to shops and eat like normal people.
Okay, so I want you to pretend to take those two pieces out of the box. And when you've taken them out of the box and put them on your pretend plate, let me know.
They're done.
Okay, now I want you to think of your plate as a clock. Again, you've got two slices of pizza. Now comes actually using the physical part of the technique. I want you to take off the amount that you decide is too much. So even if it's just a smidgen, I want you to separate that from the two slices. So you want in the box, you decided two is enough. Okay, now you took them out of the box. Now you're on the plate. Now we're getting technique serious where we're going to use the physical part of the technique. So again, you need to ask yourself how much is enough and how much is too much. So do that, Rusty.
Oh, that's hard. That I can't do.
Of course it's hard. Of course it's hard. But, excuse me?
I said two pieces is good enough.
It could be just a little teeny, tiny, teeny, teeny piece. But you have to think, like, which part of those two slices is too much?
I would take off the crust.
All right. So I want you to take a pretend moment. I want you to take off the crust, and I want you to pick a time on the clock, and I want you to move your crust over to that time.
Probably to 1 o'clock.
Okay, awesome. Now, you have two amounts on your plate. You have the amount, Rusty, that you decided was enough, and then you have the amount that you decided was too much, which is the crust. Now, you can eat the amount that you decided was enough, and you will know that you stopped yourself because the marker lets you know that you gave yourself enough and therefore were able to eat and stop. So now you can pretend to eat the amount you decided was enough, but not your marker, not the crust. Okay. Now,
yeah, I can see how that would work.
Okay, wait, I'm not done yet. Now let's
see. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now you're going to say, but Sora, what happens if I want the crust too? I decide I want the crust. What you have to do is you can have the crust, but you have to put aside a new marker at 1 o'clock.
I would probably, if I would cut the crust in half if that's the way it
okay,
was going
to
be.
Okay, so pretend to do that now. Move half over to the center of your plate and leave the other half at 1 o'clock. Again, Rusty, you can eat and stop yourself because you gave yourself enough, and you know that by looking at the marker. Now, let me explain. If you don't use the marker, Rusty, by definition, it's all in my book, nothing is enough. And when nothing is enough, you're going to think a lot about pizza. Maybe you're not going to have a third slice at the moment, but an hour later you're going to say, gee, I should have had a third slice. Maybe I'm going to pass that store again. So until you learn and then physicalize how much is enough and that you can give yourself enough, nothing is enough, and you're not going to reduce the number of times a day you think about food or have a non-overweight matching body.
Very interesting play of the mind. I like it.
Well, it's all about the mind. It has nothing to do with the food. Here's the good news. Food is the object of the challenge. It has nothing to do with problem. It's what allows you to say, hey, I have a challenge. But the biggest challenge is rewiring your brain so that you believe and you know that every time you eat, I'm having enough. I've used my marker. I can eat and stop myself. Now, what happens when you can have enough of something? Do you want more or do you want less?
Myself personally, it's probably less.
Okay, so the way the system works is by seeing and physicalizing that you can always eat and stop yourself having the food that you want. You're going to think less about food and you're going to eat less and you're going to experience no deprivation.
Very intriguing.
Well, it took me many decades to be able to have this conversation with you, so I appreciate your response.
Well, I think in a really beautiful way, it's just a mind game with yourself, and it's really acknowledging, hold, stop, pay attention to what you're doing. And
well,
I think
the good news,
normally
Rusty.
We're such a fast food environment, and we're constantly just moving, 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 and we don't really completely pay attention. What you're asking people to do in a very creative way, is to stop and pay attention.
Well,
and that's marvelous.
Here's the good news. All your decisions are made before you put the food in your mouth. You see, when you use this system I developed, all the decisions are made before you can put the food in your mouth. That gives you time to pause, time to think, time to see the pizza, time to understand the relationship between the pizza and your mouth. So it's a very different experience as opposed to like, okay, I'm taking two pieces, gobble, gobble, gobble. And nothing is enough because you didn't decide how much is enough. And then you want a third and a fourth slice. And it never ends. It never ends because when nothing is enough, nothing is enough. And the antidote to not having enough is to have enough. So really what you're teaching yourself is you're quite capable of giving yourself enough food and not feeling deprived. And in that way, you're rewiring your brain and you're trusting yourself so that you're not managed by the object, which is the food. You're managed by your pre-intentional eating methodology.
Now, what was your underlying fight? What was it that you were trying to deal with at the time when you were overweight?
No, I was just a pissed off individual. You see, when I do something, I like to do it well. So I had been on many diets. I did everything perfectly, and I always regained the weight. And I couldn't understand why, if I did everything the way I was supposed to, I always failed ultimately. And I don't like to fail. If I'm going to fail, I don't like the word fail. But if I'm not going to be successful, then I need to find another way. It's really how I live as well. So, and I also know that it's my problem. You see, I didn't think of it as the food's problem. I thought, what's my problem that these really awful kids, you know, really challenged, I mean, throwing chairs, hanging themselves in the closet, you know, running around the classroom, they listened to me. These were animate objects, people. But food, which has no animate objects, like, it just, I couldn't eat and stop. I knew that I was obsessed to figure this out. I was really obsessed. I had to understand why my mind thought the way it did and why food was so prevalent in my daily thinking, and I was obsessed. So I figured it out. I figured out that nothing I ate was enough. No wonder I thought about food all day. So once I saw that, I was able to just create these two kinesthetic techniques and then solve the problem.
And how many people do you think that you've helped over the years?
Hundreds. It's hundreds. It's all on my website. I worked for a Park Avenue doctor for 10 years. I ran groups out of his office. Uh-huh. I've worked with clients online, in person. Yeah. You know, I have a program that I teach, but my book was recently published, and it became an Amazon bestseller. And the most exciting thing for me personally as a New Yorker, I mean, this just happened 2 weeks ago. I was awarded uh-huh. the 2018 Distinguished Favorite Book of the New York City Big Book Award Contest. So I'm really happy.
Yay, congratulations. What an honor.
It really is an honor. This is such a tough city, and for a judge to sit there with all those how-to books and pick mine, it's like, whoa, I feel good.
Well, and what was their underlying decision? Well, just because it's
I have no clue. I can't.
You have? Oh, they didn't say. They didn't say. Like,
oh no. I have no clue. I don't know how it came to that. And I don't think about those things. I just look at the end result. I'm very much the kind of person that looks at the arc of a situation and then looks at the outcome. And I rarely think about the process if I had no control over it. Rarely. I just move on.
That's terrific. And have you been that way your whole life?
I choose to be this way. I'm just not interested. I got a lot going on, and it's just not
Go
interesting
further
to
in
me.
That. What's not interesting to you?
I mean, things don't – first of all, everybody – I'm just not interested in most things that a lot of people are interested in. I'm only interested in reaching whatever goal I've set for myself. Everything else is just part of the process. I don't get involved and stuck in the widgets of things. I just take the next step. If it works, great. If not, I go back and look at it. I'm very I don't want to get stuck – like that. This is a choice that's come over decades of working on myself. I'm just not interested.
I think that's fun because
can't reach your goals. You can't reach your goals or make something happen if you're going to sit and question every step of everything or every reaction of every person. I'm just not interested.
I love it. I think you get to a certain point in your personal path, your personal journey, where you just go, yep, denied. Gotta go. I'm really focused.
Oh,
I'm really determined to succeed. I'm really looking forward to how I can grow as an individual in this process.
Well, that's all I'm interested in. I feel at this point in my life is I'm interested in my growth. If my growth and our meeting helps you feel better, I'm happy. If it doesn't, then you shouldn't be talking to me. And that's it.
All right.
I really feel very clearly that way.
I'm picking that up, that's for sure.
No, I mean, I really, and you should feel the same way. You reach a place where if it works, great, and if it doesn't, you move on. I mean, it took me a long time to get to this place. Believe me, I was not this person, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But today I'm fully this person.
Well, and what I find that's intriguing is even as a woman, it's very, very – we're not taught to be able to shut people off or shut them down, walk away. We're taught that we're supposed to be there and continue to be in that story. You know, we're supposed to heal and
make things better. So,
and,
right. So let me provide some comfort to you. It's all a lie. You don't have to do any of it. I used to be that way. I have a mother who's seriously, seriously that way. And you don't have to be that way. That's a choice. But you don't have to be rude. I mean, I'm not a rude individual.
Exactly.
I'm not rude at all. As a matter of fact, I'm super not rude. But over the years, I've found ways. Look, I think of myself as an energy bank. Every day I get up, I have a certain amount of energy, and then I disperse it the way I see that would best benefit me. And I don't allow toxic things in my life because it's only going to drain me, and I got too much to do.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So give a shout out as to where we can find your information, where we can find you, more information about you. Do you have YouTube videos? How are you
expanding
your
Yeah, well,
heart?
I have a great website. Folks sign up. They get a monthly newsletter called your Make Peace with Food newsletter, which is really fun. And you immediately get a download called your No Dieting, It's Not Your Fault report, which will show you exactly in diagram form why diets don't work and how the choice is yours. You can buy the book, Eat What You Want, Stop When You Want, a no-diet weight loss program from the site, or it's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's. Or you can walk into a Barnes & Noble's and order it if you so choose.
Terrific. Now, let's talk about food allergies. What do you think about that?
I think that I don't know much about food allergies, so I don't know that I'm the right person to ask, but if you have a food allergy, you can still use the system. You just don't eat the foods you're allergic to. You see, it's not about
Perfect.
The food. It's about having the choice to eat and stop. I'm not a nutritionist, and I don't know much about food. I mean, I really don't. I'm kind of, food is just the object that I needed to learn to control. So what I'm really passionate about is having the choice to eat and stop, manage the food like you manage your money. It's the same thing. Food and money, same thing. Do you want them to manage you, or do you want to manage it? And it's a very personal choice, you know?
It's true. And I think that we are, we've evolved into a society in which we spend more time emotionally eating and kind of self-sabotaging ourselves because there's so much out there and it's so quick to run through a drive-through, which I personally can't. I have food allergies. But as we continue to disengage with community, we're engaging more with the self-saboteur kind of behavior, with eating too much, drinking too much, consuming too much.
You just brought up a great point, and I mean a really great point, and I have to say is that today you have to really make also this decision if you live by yourself that you're going to not choose self-isolation, that you're going to force yourself to get out and to be with people, and you're going to find ways to do that. That's because without that, you are going to be more prone to go and have food. But again, the food is just a substitute for, you know, being social. You know, it's much faster and easier to take 3 candy bars and lay down and watch TV and eat that than get yourself dressed and drive to a room with strangers and say hello, you know. But you know, Rusty, these are all personal choices, and you just have to decide how you see your life, what you want for your life. Like Tony Robbins says, the rocking chair test. At the end of your life, when you're sitting in the chair, what don't you want to regret? And I can just say for me personally, I wanted control over the food, but not through a diet. I knew there was a problem. Do you know that 97% of folks who diet put on the weight after 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. And that's where I kind of go, why go through?
Because
it's a stressful diet.
Right, because it's culturally acceptable. Culturally, if there were, listen, if diets worked, why would there be so many, okay?
I agree.
I mean, it's culturally, I'm on a diet. It makes you like, I see a therapist. It makes you cool, you know? But the truth is.
I see a therapist, I'm cool.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a coach as well. So the point is a person in their relationship with food has to decide, do you want to manage the pizza or do you want the pizza to manage you? That's the bottom line. And do you want to see what your life would be like if you managed the pizza? That's a great question. Do you want to see who Rusty would be if you managed the food in front of you instead of feeling compelled as opposed to having a choice? And what I really like I said about my work, is everything is decided before you put the food in your mouth. And that's the good part. So there's no, you know, craziness. All you're doing is working your brain. And then first you work your brain, then you work your mouth.
Well, and that is an interesting way of looking at things. I wonder how you would if it was a person who is just beginning this journey of getting to know themselves, because a lot of what you're talking about is really having ownership of yourself. And not everybody understands what that means. Not everybody's in a place where they, you know, belly up, so to speak, to the bar and says, I am who I am and that's all I am. And that's a hard process. And I think especially for women. But what?
Well, you know what? But you see, Rusty. I mean, don't take this personally, because you too, you know, we've never met. I don't know you. This is the first time we're chatting. But I will tell you that I feel that you offer a lot of excuses, okay? I'm just not that person. I'm just not that person. If I see that there's something in my life that isn't working, I know it's my problem because I'm the common denominator. And if I'm the common denominator and a part of my life isn't working, I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to start journaling. I'm going to read a couple of books. I'm going to take courses, because here's the deal. The bottom line is, Rusty, is that nobody can fix you but you. Nobody can fix me but me. So for as long as it takes to each individual to understand that nobody can do it for you, that's as soon as they'll get on the horse and start riding. And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying everyone can do it. But for me, I'm like, I take no prisoners. I got a problem. It's my problem. It's not yours, Rusty. It's mine.
And I appreciate that. And if I would have been able to finish the question, I think you would have been able to answer it a little better.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My question was, how would you, in the beginning phases of an individual who's trying to come into this authentic place and come into an ownership of their behaviors, how would you start out? What would you recommend as a beginning step?
Oh, well, no,
because
I don't recommend.
Even though you utilize the term making a lot of excuses, unfortunately, that's the reality of our society, and that's what people experience. And I appreciate your steadfast wall putting up. It is, you know, defensive tactic, but that doesn't work for everybody. So what kinds of steps would you recommend for people to begin this process?
Well, I think you're generalizing. So the first thing is, I don't think anybody can do any work on themselves until they acknowledge they have a problem. So the first step is to say, I have a problem, whether it's with alcohol, whether it's with food, whether it's with sex, whether it's with gambling, whatever the problem is, you have to look in the mirror one day and say, I have a problem. Once you say, I have a problem, I really know that the universe works in a way where they send potential guidance. But then it becomes your choice to hook up to what you think is the next step. But until you get on your hands and knees and say, I have a problem, I really recommend nothing. Because I taught school for 30 years, and I've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unhappy dieters. And I can tell you that unless you want to get better, it's not going to happen. So you have to, people that work with me, I ask them, do you want to diet, feel deprived, lose the weight, and then put it back on? Or do you want to make peace with food by learning how to have enough, letting the weight go, and having a chance to keep it off? And then they make their decision. So I give no, I'm not, you know, it's funny, Rusty, I am not an advice giver. I'm not an advice giver. Because the person has to want it, but the person has to say, gee, I drink too much. This is ruining my life. Do I want to take a look at this, you know? Or I'm gambling too much. Do I want to take a look at this? You have to be very brave. You have to be very brave in this life. I'm all about courage and bravery, you know? Of course it's not easy, but anything good worth earning is not easy.
All right. So, sorry, give us a way to find you online.
Yes. Okay. So my website is www.nodieting.net. That's www.nodieting.net.
Terrific. And you have a book out?
Yes.
What's the book?
I do. And I love my book. It's Eat What You Want, Stop When You Want, A No-Diet Weight Loss Program.
All right. And is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners today?
No, I just want to say to all of your listeners that it's never too late. There's always hope. And the hope lies in the center of your heart. And once you find that desire to find your hope, there's always a way. You just have to remember that inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. And that's what I want to share.
Yay, wonderful. Thank you, Sora, so much for coming on today. It was awesome to meet you and learn more about you and what inspires you to continue doing what you do.
Thank you, Rusty.
You are listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I am Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. And that was Sora Bernikoff. She's an author of No Diet, Weight Loss. No Diet Weight Loss Coach at nodieting.net. She's healed herself over compulsive overeating and since has helped hundreds of unhappy dieters do the same thing. Sora teaches her program to private clients both online and offline in her recent book, Eat What You Want, Stop When You Want, a No Diet Weight Loss Program, became a number one Amazon bestseller last July. So that was really interesting conversation to have with Sora. I think, you know, she has a lot to offer the right people, and it's wonderful. And I love how she stands in her own truth and her own authenticity. It takes a lot of bravery to do that. She is very correct. Next week, let's see, who do we have on next week? I'm so excited. I love this show. Dun, dun, dun. I am booked until summer of next year, so I don't remember who is who anymore. Let's see. Dun, dun, dun. It's so peaceful here. It's so beautiful. I'm loving the breeze off the bay, even though it is chilly. Truly, truly chilly. Next week. Oh, I'm so excited. We have Michelle Hayes on. She is an author. She's also a public speaker. She'll be on 3 o'clock next week. She's talks a lot about binge eating. It seems to be kind of a theme, huh? I figured I'd wrap our heads around it for the holidays because there's so much information that offers us guilt for indulging in the holidays. And so here's more weight management information. She is part of Shape. She was on Shape Magazine helping women lose weight and her Weight Loss Diary series. She helps women, you know, battle and end the battle of binge and overeating. She fell in love with herself. She's a weight loss coach for almost 10 years, a PhD student, and a health student. She's published several books, Have Your Cake and Be Happy Too, A Joyful Approach to Weight Loss. I'm really excited to meet her and talk more about, you know, her process and what inspires her to do what she does. Her website is imdonedieting.com. So she will be on next week, and I look forward to that. Totally look forward to it. And then after that, we will be in holiday season and at the end of the year. Can you believe that? So crazy. Can't even understand it. It goes by way too fast. Until then, I want to know that you're beautiful. I want you to know that I think that you're beautiful. I love you for who you are. I embrace you for all of you. And I hope that Living and Thriving gives you a positive reach out and offers you more tools for your tool belt to be a better version of you today than you were yesterday. In light, in love, in harmony. I'll speak to you next Thursday. Whoa.